With all the senseless killings, the crime rate increasing, people crying out to defund the police, well, it seemed appropriate to begin a study of the first murderer, that being Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Last Lord's Day, we noted five questions, and four of which God asked Cain, and one question Cain was replying unto God. Well, note Genesis 4:9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? God knew where he was, but Cain needed to admit his wrongdoing. But this is what he replied unto God, his creator, I know not. Thus he lied. And then he's got the nerve to say, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, he was not concerned about his own brother Abel, who he had just slain. And so we talked about what caused Cain to murder his brother Abel instead of being his brother's keeper. And the first cause we noted, the sin of envy, which led to hate, and hate led to murder in that case. We want to pick back up with our study this morning, and we'll do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, and we want to take the opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes, but then in the worship assembly, we're striving to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth, but we need to have a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, and that's following John 4:24, is it not? Now, we would be most happy for you to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always ready to study the Bible with anyone, and of course, we're glad to answer Bible questions. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study as we're continuing our study of Cain, the first murderer. And we noted one of the causes in his taking his brother's life was envy, which caused hate, as we said, and certainly that led to murder. But here's number two, the sin of selfishness. Note Jude 10 and 11. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast in those things, they corrupt themselves. Now the context here is false teachers in the Lord's church. And note, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. And so Cain was too self-centered to be concerned about his brother's welfare. He loved himself way too much to love anybody else, and that included God, sadly to say. Is this not just widespread today in our society? Selfishness. People wanting self-glory. Look at me. Yes, I'm really something. Well, we better look at the mirror of the soul, the Word of God, and see how God sees us, and realize that we're in need of mercy and grace. and humble ourselves in the sight of God and receive forgiveness by obeying the gospel and remaining faithful even unto death. But selfishness is rampant in our society, and people want to elevate certain folks rather than seeing that we're all precious in the sight of God. Every soul is worth more than all the world. It's not just about certain ones, is it? God is no respecter of persons, neither should we. And we should all be concerned about every soul. The sin of selfishness was a cause in Cain's case that led to murder. And this causes rebellion against God. Yes, Cain preferred to follow his own selfish will, and thus that's what caused him to rebel against God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and note verses 2 through 4 and see what's at the top of this list. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Did we note that? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, a mother's love for a child, that's something natural, isn't it? Well, they're without that. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's something we better note here and stay away from these characteristics. They're ungodly. Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. There it is. That's right. That's God's word. Let not every man on his own, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do we want to be Christ-like? Then we can't esteem ourselves better than others. No, we need to stay with the Word of God. Let's go on now in our study to question number 6. This would be Genesis 4, verse 10. As God is speaking to Cain, and notice, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, this is question 6, after that exchange, what hast thou done? This is the question we want to focus on now. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That's right. Cain needed to realize the sacredness of human life and the horrible sin of murder. So Cain should have asked himself this question. As we note in Jeremiah 8, 5 and 6, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? You see that question? What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes into the battle. Well, a lot of people are asking that, not realizing that they're in sin and need to repent of it and submit to the gospel and get forgiveness by the blood of Christ. Well, we need to note God's concern for man's action. This is clearly seen in his question and statement to Cain. Note 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's right. We are the offspring of God. Of course he cares. Acts 17:29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Let's keep this in mind. Yes, the first murder that took place in the history of mankind was due to a religious dispute. Yes, Cain killed his brother because Abel offered a sacrifice unto God that was accepted. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. And thus, this was a religious dispute. And how many Christians have been put to death because they were a faithful child of God? Well, during the Roman Empire, there were quite a few, were there not? And down through the ages, there have been others. As we know, even today, persecutions can come in many ways, of course. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know it's coming. God has warned us. We must not hate our brethren. This is something else we need to talk about. Or we will be like Cain. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's what it says, doesn't it? Well, we don't want to be like Cain. Now, in our study, let's talk about the aftermath of Cain's rejection of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. He rejected both. We pick back up in chapter 4 of Genesis with verse 11. God speaking, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Still selfish, isn't he? Not about repentance, only about himself. "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. Lest any finding him should kill him. So, this, of course, was God's punishment. And we have to note here also, in our study of the aftermath of Cain's rejection of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, he was still selfish. And his reply to God, man's works have a voice, as our deeds follow us, do they not? We know they do, because the Bible says they do. Revelation 14:13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Well, that's good works, though, isn't it? That's works of righteousness. But what about the works of the flesh? That's going to follow those that are unprepared. We will be judged by our works. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Revelation 20:12. So, what works will follow me after my death? And what about you? You know, Abel still has a voice. He, being dead, yet speaketh, Hebrews 11:4. So what does our voice say? Well, it should say what we've done in this life after we're gone. Hopefully serving God faithfully, even unto death. In James 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? How many people say just the opposite? Religious leaders, preachers, those calling themselves pastors, reverends, they call themselves, a term applied only to God in the Bible, and yet they would tell people we're saved by faith only, when the Bible says we're not saved by faith only. Now, which one do we accept? Those religious leaders that tell us different than what God says? Or do we stay with the Word of God? Works of righteousness is what justifies man, not works of merit. That's eliminated, Ephesians 2:8-9. But verse 10 talks about works of righteousness. That's what's included. And we better know that. Now, I need to mention this because since the death penalty had not been given when Cain murdered his brother Abel, God did not punish him by death. But that would come later. The death penalty would be given in Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And, of course, second, it was given in the Mosaic Age. Now that Genesis 9:6 is still in the patriarchal age. But note Leviticus 24:21. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. And, of course, study Numbers 35:16-21. And thirdly, it was given in the Christian age by the government having the right to execute evildoers. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. They have a purpose. Now notice verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do it that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. That's the sword of execution. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now that's capital punishment in the Bible. The government has the right to bear the sword. In this case, execution. Today it's not the sword. It's an injection. But let's go on, because the Jews believed as long as the act of murder was not committed that it did not matter about their attitude. We need to see what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and clear that up. That's a false belief. In Matthew 5:21-22, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in the danger of hell fire. We must not have hate in our heart, is the bottom line, is it not? But you know, it's interesting to point this out. How many people today are against capital punishment, but they're for the right of the mother to take the innocent child in her womb? They call it a right to choose. Isn't that, well, it's not just interesting, it's tragic is what it is. God hates hands. He hates this. Hands that shed innocent blood, Proverbs 6:17. And what's more innocent blood than the child in the mother's womb? Well, let's go on. Cain showed no remorse or guilt for what he had done, but he could speak up about his penalty being too severe, there as we read in verses 11-16. Yes, Cain did not heed God's warning, so he reaped what he sowed, as all accountable souls will. He had no one to blame but himself. We know that's true. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Which one are we doing? We're not told what the mark of Cain was. There's no point in speculating. What we can know is this. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord never to return. Genesis 4:16. And notice verse 26. And to Seth, this is Genesis 4:26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, that's telling us before that they weren't. And notice a descendant of Cain was Lamech, and he was the first polygamist, breaking God's marriage law. Certainly Genesis 2:24 and Matthew 19:1-9, from the beginning it was to be one man and one woman for life. One exception for putting away a spouse was fornication, and there was no other given, was there? Well, something about Lamech not only being a polygamist, but he had a haughty spirit, as you note in verses 23 and 24, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Well, he's bragging, isn't he? Well, he may have been defending himself. It's not in detail here. But he sure was braggadocious and boastful, as we noted. Well, as we conclude our study of Cain, the first murderer, again, we want to emphasize Cain being dead, yet speaketh. That's again Hebrews 11:4. And we know that his righteous blood is still being proclaimed. Matthew 23:35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. The words of our Lord. Yes, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. And so as Christians, are we practicing agape love? Well, note 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. And in the King James, the word charity is used. Charity suffereth long. This is really agape love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Are we practicing agape love? Well, to please God, we better be, and make a difference in this world and in our society. It's badly needed, is it not? We know that it is. Have we emptied ourselves and received the word of God? Or are we like selfish Cain, rebelling against God and rejecting his word? That's what Cain did. In Matthew 5:3, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We must empty ourselves of anything which would keep us from receiving the truth. This country of ours needs to get back to the Bible. It's left its moorings. And we all know how tragic the situation is. It's so obvious. James 1:21 and 22, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. There it is. But note verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's be sure we're doers and not hearers only. And so have we submitted to the will of God? Or are we in rebellion like Cain? Well, it's not too late to do something about our situation if we have been in rebellion to God. In order to obey the gospel, we have to hear the truth. That's how faith comes. Romans 10:17. Now we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins. Except ye believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. The next step is to repent, meaning we have to change our way of thinking. We're not going to do it like we think any longer. We're going to do the will of God, turning our life completely around and going in a new direction. Yes, we must repent, Acts 17:30. Then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that statement, now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. Why a grave of water? Because we're buried into the death of Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus shed his blood in his death, John chapter 20, as you note, verses 32 and 33 and 4. Yes, they came and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So to contact the blood of Christ, we must be buried into his death, baptized into his death. And therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, note that, 3 and 4. After we come up out of that watery grave, the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ. Christ purchased it with his blood, promised to build it, and he did. And he died for it. It should have his name. And thus, Acts 2:47 shows the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We want to be one of those that's saved by obeying the gospel, and then we live faithfully. We're beginning a new life. We're going in the right direction now, adding the Christian graces. And even if it means our death, we're going to remain faithful. Revelation 2:10, we'll receive the crown of life. We'll have the victory. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel and studying further. And we all want to stay away from the example of Cain. And we thank you so much for listening today.